everyone. We are back with the next episode of the Raiders Rambles. I am Jolt, your chief host of the show, and joining me is none other than my co-host, Avira.
Awoo! Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I hope you had a wonderful week, and that you're looking forward to an incredible show tonight. Mwahahaha.
Oh, heck yeah. We always do.
You know that wasn't supposed to come off so sinister. I don't know why I did that. Anyways.
I don't know. Somebody's going to one-up you in the next few seconds.
Probably.
All right. Next on the show, we have Noble.
Morning, everyone.
See? I told you you'd get one-up, Davira.
Oof, kibibbles. You're right.
And next on the show, we have Mighty Red Wolf.
Good morning. Oh, crap. I mean afternoon. Good afternoon.
You know what's funny? It's like in our time zones here, Australia, Hawaii, and, you know, mainland Eastern United States, it's time for breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same time.
Yeah, true.
Right?
Still lunchtime here.
Nice. So, let's get started. Now, I'd like to first start off that for those of our listeners in the United States, you know what's coming up? It is Independence Day weekend.
Yes, sir. The 4th of July, which used to be my favorite holiday for the longest time until I became a furry and then it became Halloween, but that's a whole different story. Yeah, 4th of July, man. So,
yeah, don't forget your fireworks.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Don't forget your railroad bells.
Do yourselves a favor and make sure you set the fireworks outside of a building or a vehicle.
And don't blow up your hand either.
No.
Hey, that was Australia.
I don't know, man. You know, way back in when I was like, I don't know, 15, like in high school thereabouts, me and my neighbor, a friend of mine, we used to like make our own fireworks. We used to like blow all kinds of weird shit up. Like mixing crap together, and every 4th of July, man, it was a blast. Literally. But, yeah.
All right.
But for you guys, Jolt and Noble, do you have any, like, something similar in Australia, like an Independence Day? Or, I guess, not really.
Australia Day.
That's a thing?
For us is, you know, we mainly have Australia Day, but we don't have, you know, like, it's not to the level of, like, you know, extravagant fireworks launching, at least not to my knowledge.
Barbecues, or I guess you do that every day. That's
We do have barbecues.
Yeah, the Bardi, right?
Yeah, every day.
I usually end up finding a lot of Australian flags littered all over the place. They're cheap plastic ones from China.
Ah. Well, I'm pretty sure today is also Canada Day, isn't it?
That's July the 1st.
Oh, that was yesterday.
That was yesterday. Okay. That was yesterday.
Right. Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. I'm like, Canada Day. I've never heard of that.
Come on, it's overshadowed by Independence Day.
Yeah, because America.
America!
Even a lot of the European countries have their own special day as well.
Yeah,
You know, they don't have that, you know, that kind of imprint that says that it's time to celebrate that, you know, the founding day.
Yeah, let's do it by blowing shit up.
Yeah, that's how you got to do it.
Yep.
That's the best way.
Oh, heck yeah. So, I guess in kind of that spirit, though, remember, you know, celebrate Independence Day and celebrate the fact you have, you know, one of the mightiest nations on the world.
Yeah. And speaking of what day it is, you know what else is going on right now? Anthrocon. But not really. The digital version, or the virtual version, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Right now, Anthrocon, which does take place over 4th of July weekend, typically, every year for the last 15 years they've been doing this. But this is their second time that they're doing a virtual con, and it has changed a bit since last year.
Indeed.
Let's see what they're up to.
Right, yeah, so we have the schedule here propped up, and yeah. So they've just started like last hour. Funny timing, right? Like perfectly good timing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, They've squeezed out the convention in just a matter of at least 7 hours, you know, with a couple of with panels, live shows, educational show, educational Anthropon history, and yeah, and you know, DJ parties.
Yeah, see, these sound like panels that would actually be at a real convention that I would totally go to. Like, I would like to go to Anthropon history, you know, maybe learn about the beginnings or whatever. Interesting. I always like the Fox and Pepper show. That's fun. DJ streams, of course. But let's see what they're actually doing right now as they're live. Oh, it's Kage's Story Hour.
Oh my gosh.
Indeed, it's the chairman himself.
Okay, so it's basically like watching a YouTube video of Kage. Only it's live.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is him. The chairman himself was, you know. Yeah, definitely.
Interesting.
And it's definitely different now. Like they're doing this over at the shores of, you know, in Pennsylvania. And just before that, you know, we had the first reading 101, which was done in some backyard with Ken Stu.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I guess they just ended that panel or whatever it was. But yeah, they had about like a dozen or so fursuiters. But it looked like it was being filmed from someone's backyard. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, right?
I mean, you know, short of... I really imagined them doing VR chat. I really did.
I thought so too, yeah. But these are like live shows from other people's houses, I think probably in many different locations.
Yeah.
And they probably all coordinated it.
That's probably how they're doing it.
That's different.
It's a novel, interesting approach, definitely, you know. Like, instead of like having pre-recorded panels, just do it live, but have control of the master streaming thing. Yeah, like, it definitely does, like, one, you know, it's definitely more novel than recreating it, you know. The David L. Lawrence Center in VR chat, for example.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're going to panels, but not really. You're kind of just following a 3-day live stream, basically.
No. So, basically, Anthrocon's doing their own private TV show.
That's what it seems like. I'm not sure if they actually have a virtual area that you can jump onto and, like, game and chat with people. No, I know they did that last year, but I don't know about now.
I don't think so.
It's not live on VR chat. It's, you know, it's a series of streams is what it is.
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
Now, the thing is, though, if we look back at the schedule, it's missing a couple of items that are also, you know, keystone items of a typical furry convention, such as the parade and the fursuit games.
Yeah, but how can you do that?
Right. Understandable, right? Definitely.
Yeah.
Zoom!
Oh my god.
Zoom parade. Like, everybody bring out your selfie sticks and walk yourself down, you know, down your front door.
Can you imagine, like, 2,000 people try to join the live stream? They're, like, all walking down at, like, their local supermarket, like, in fursuit. Like, yeah, I'm in the parade!
I've got my fursuit on and I'm walking out. And it's funny because, you know, Anthrocon is one of the few events that do their parades outdoors.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so it kind of works.
It does, exactly. The last time I was there, we had, I believe it was close to 2,000 fursuiters in the parade. It was absolutely bonkers. It was a huge, it took us like 2 hours just to go around a couple blocks. It was nuts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was fun though. Okay, maybe not 2 hours. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but
yeah,
it was a mile. A lot of people.
Well, I'll be glad when everything reopens again.
Oh, heck yeah!
I'm thinking that this is to happen.
Right, dude, I'm thinking this has got to be the last year that cons are closed. Because in 2022, by then, right? You'd think most cons would be open.
At least, you know, 2022, we have a good, you know, prospect at recovery.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to bring up the bad news, but COVID-20.
Oh, God, no.
It already exists.
No. It's Delta 20.
Yeah.
That sounds like a cool name for, like, a Navy SEALs faction. I'm Delta 20. Let's go.
Yeah, well, why ruin the Delta thing? Anyway, couple of live comments.
Let's see.
Roombox says, are they doing the Fun Day Pool Pet Show? No, I don't think so. Not to my knowledge in the schedule.
No. The way they're doing it does actually remind me of the Fun Day Pool Pet there, Tongue Twister
right.
Show.
Yeah. Because remember, they did these, they brought a suitor in and, like, in someone's house, they just recorded, this suit doing shenanigans.
Oh, I actually have a question about this, though. Like, if this is going to be their format, how do they do the Dealer's Den or Artist Alley? Like, how are artists supposed to sell their work and stuff? Is that a component that's not going to be there?
They actually have a stream section for the Artist Alley, and the Dealer's Den is basically, it's a flyers thing, really. Let's have a look at this, though. Let's just have a look at it. Here you go. Dealer's Den. A series of A to Zs for artists, suit makers, prop makers, and...
Okay. So this is every artist who
It's basically, it's no yellow pages, but you get the point.
Okay. This does not substitute for an experience of just walking up to someone's table and interacting with them and seeing all their merch. I don't know about this, man.
No. It's like you definitely need a stream to replicate this sort of thing. You need a series of streams to replicate that or art jams.
When this is all over, I'd like to see the statistics of how many people actually joined this and like just how popular it was. Just to like get an idea of like if this is a good formula or not. It could be interesting.
Yeah, but virtual really sometimes it really doesn't work.
Yeah, but because this is so different, I'm wondering if maybe it might possibly. I don't know.
We'll see. All right. Let's move on to the meat and bones of the podcast, eh? Whatever come what may, like, it's interesting what Nantricon's doing, definitely. But, who knows, maybe more conventions can go and, this format. Can follow this format. So, yeah. So, let's get started, eh? Shall we? We have movies, new upcoming releases to share with you.
Oh boy. Here we go. Yeah, here we go.
Start with some crazy crossovers though. Straight out of nowhere. Scooby-Doo meets Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Now, I got two things to say about this. One, the trailer looks incredible. But two, I think this film is like 10 years too late.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Yeah,
because
Courage... Courage the Cowardly Dog wasn't that a series, like, many years ago in our old childhood?
It was, like, in the, late 90s, early... it was, like, before 2006 or some shit.
I remember all that!
It's, like, 15 years ago. But do you think, a 10-year-old kid knows who Courage the Cowardly Dog is? Probably not. Scooby-Doo? Oh. Maybe, because they keep on rehashing him. But if this came out 10 years ago, this would have been way better.
Gold.
Yeah. Oh. I would have loved this.
Oh, here's a good thing I kind of like to bring up about Scooby-Doo. I remember in the older Scooby-Doo version when Casey Kasem did Shaggy. That was perfect back then.
Yeah. All right, so let's check out this article here.
All right. So, let me just start by saying, who really expected this crossover, huh?
I didn't expect it.
But it sounds right, though, doesn't it? Like, Scooby-Doo, yeah. Solving mysteries as a talking dog, and Courage is, like, the same thing, but, like, not really.
Yeah, something different.
I feel like this makes a lot of sense. Like, they live in the same universe? Yeah, I believe it. With all these monsters and shit everywhere? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So, I guess if we read the premise of the show, Yeah, you're right. Like it's definitely a problem solving, a mystery solving show, mm-hmm. And Courage the Cowardly Dog. He meets Courage the Cowardly Dog, and they team up. It's shenanigans.
The only thing I dislike about this is something that's been sort of plastered over the internet: how the creator of Courage the Cowardly Dog didn't participate in the movie.
Yeah, that's right. He even publicly said something on Twitter, I believe, about that, where he's like, I had no involvement in this. But, you know, which is a shame, you know, when you do sell intellectual properties to a major network, like, they kind of own the rights to it.
Well, it's not owning the rights, it's doing it properly, because if they don't know it properly, it's not going to really make them that much money. It just gets shat on.
Yeah, but, like, they could also just redo it however they want. Like, he had no involvement in this. That's kind of upsetting. But it seems like they had the same voice actors for all the characters, at least as far as I know.
Yeah.
And the same, like, design. Like, it looks like they could be in the same universe, especially if you look at the designs of, like, the villains, like the bug guys. That looks totally classic Courage. But also, I could see Scooby-Doo fighting something like that in some, like, wacky movie. Like, you know? It just seems okay to me.
You know, I know I hate interrupting, but I kind of like, you know, every time when Eustace Bags, you know, he always says, stupid dog, you make me look bad. Like, it's just funny every time.
Man, it's such a great show. It's so nostalgic.
It was.
I love Courage, man.
It's awesome.
It's so awesome.
If they cut that from the movie, people are going to be pissed.
Yeah, you can't. And then, of course, the ooga booga booga.
Exactly. But you
got
to
have that.
You know what's interesting about this, though? Well, oh, actually, no. I was going to say something about Shaggy, but I totally forgot what my train of thought was. Never mind. Oh, yeah, now I know. He's eating ham. Which, you know, in the old show, he never did. Because the original voice actor was vegan.
Wow.
That's just a fun little fact.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah. If you look at every single Scooby-Doo before, like, 2010, every single time, Shaggy never eats meat. Because the original voice actor was, like, a hippie back in, like, the 1960s. So yeah, they respected his wishes.
Yeah, even when Casey Kasem did Shaggy also, don't forget about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He never ate meat either. Even in the movie. I mean, even in the live-action movie, he didn't eat meat.
Man, that was... that. You know, rest in peace, Casey Kasem, but he was the most perfect actor for Shaggy.
He was, yeah. Yeah.
He nailed it.
He did.
Wow. I don't know how, but, you know, you saw those were some, you know, interesting bit of details of trivia.
Yeah, it's just some weird details I noticed, but now he's eating, like, ham and roast beef, and I'm like, damn, that's... Yeah, Shaggy would do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
You changed, Shaggy. What the heck happened?
Well, the latest series was pretty cool. Was it Mystery Incorporated, I believe it was? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess overall, like, you know, Shaggy's been, you know, I've subjected a lot of other things too. Like, those, you know, there's multiple Mortal Kombat memes and, you know, Ultra Instinct. That stuff was pretty funny, man. Shaggy's... Yeah, gotta love the guy.
Right, exactly.
Really gotta love the guy. Oh, and I guess speaking of, just, you know, we've got more movies, but just in this one, though, like, why do you see, I mean, despite, you know, the creator of Courage not being involved, how do you see this one turning out?
I see this turning out very well, because it seems like the people behind it are staying true to the source material. Even if you look at the art style, it looks like they could all be in the same universe.
I mean, it does just work out. I mean, yeah, it absolutely works out. I think it is going to work, though. I mean, this is something that I'd want to see.
It looks way better than the Rugrats one.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is something people like us would want to see. I don't think, like, a 7-year-old is going to watch this and, like, really, really value it as much as someone like a millennial would. Because, like, we grew up with this shit.
You're forgetting it's not value, it's about enjoying it.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, if it's enjoyable, sure. Of course. But, like, if you know the character already, like Eustace and Muriel and the computer, like...
Oh, yeah. I remember all the insults the computer did to Courage. Oh, my God.
He's one of my favorite characters. Oh,
it was perfect. Oh, my God.
Him and Kat. Every time Kat came on the screen and, it, like, his theme was playing, I'm like, oh damn, shit's gonna get real. Here's Cats. He's gonna try to kill y'all.
I mean, on top of that, though, I just want to add on to it, though. Remember, you know, Scooby-Doo, they had another movie before this that was just also recent, Scoob.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No. When you were younger, it was like an origin story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think maybe, you know, if Scoob wasn't so well-received, I think maybe this one, this crossover, might just be you know, the thing that turns it all around.
Well, this will, because it's animated too. Like, it's not CGI, you know, cheap.
Yeah,
kind of stuff
they're
like
kind of going back to their a little bit of old school if you think about it too.
And like I said, the art style works too. If you look at Shaggy's eyes, like, they're the original, like, style. That's what Mystery Incorporated tried to do too, like with the old outfits and all that stuff.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, with Courage, of course, definitely the same outfits with Muriel, Eustace, and of course the same artwork for Courage.
And even the use of color, like the whole vibrant shadows, like that doesn't even make sense, like red against blue, but
it just gives us an update, but it works.
The thing is, it's art style, and a lot of people generally forget that you can take an image and portray it a different way, but it's not going to be the same. It's going to look different, which for some people, updates, it's a 50-50 chance it's going to work out. But other times, with like what they did with the Rugrats cartoon, I mean, holy hell, I wanted to gouge my eyes out after seeing that. Just one episode.
That was bad.
Hey, just puke up rainbows or something.
You could do that animation style from 2D in a 3D setting. You could slap in the lines as well. It's like Google started, or the SketchUp thing they started. It's now its own private company thing now. I mean, you could use that kind of 3D. It seems weird, but if you spend enough time working on it, you may make it good. But this is far better than what they could have done anything with CG at the moment.
I'm not trying to interrupt, but I'm looking at the comments, and like I see the most perfect comment that also came from Courage. Remember when Eustace always said, "Muriel, where's me dinner?"
Oh, every time. Yeah. Or no, I also like I also really love "Where's me mallet?" Every time there's a threat, he's like, "Where's me mallet? I'm gonna get my mallet."
And he did use it a lot, too.
He did. Looking awesome.
All right. So we've got another movie that's also up in the wires before we move on to the bigger ones. Here's another one that you may not have been expecting. Sing 2.
Okay.
Okay.
That. Yeah, so, don't get me wrong. I managed to watch the first one in the big screen. It wasn't too bad, you know, for a feel good family, real family movie. Yeah, the animation was great, like for a CG featurette, definitely.
Yeah, but the thing is, this came out a little bit later than Fear, and I kind of feel like this is their rejected cousin that is just trying to be as good, but they're not, though. I don't know why they have a sequel and Zootopia doesn't. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Right, and why? And to go back to it, though, I don't know why Rock Dog also got a sequel, which is already out at the moment.
Yeah, use this money for Zootopia.
Zootopia too. Come on,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
That's where it really got started.
I thought they were planning on doing a TV show of Zootopia.
Oh, I heard about that.
They wanted to make a big universe around Zootopia.
Yeah, but I don't think they really went forward with it, though.
No,
shame.
Yeah, it was axed at the last minute.
But now we have Illumination drop Sing 2 trailer, and first look at character posters. I mean, they're not bad designs, but compared to, like, the pig is kind of cringe, actually. That looks really nasty.
Let's have a look at the designs, though. You know, the Hedgehog Ash. I mean... Yeah, it's a mixture of, like, realistic cartoony and, you know, and I love all the extra detail work on it still.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like, they obviously put effort into making this.
They did try their hardest.
But nobody asked for this. This is, I believe this is just a cash grab at this point.
Yeah, it's not going to work, though, really.
You know, I wonder if, like, younger kids would watch this and it would be, like, one of their favorite movies. Because, like, maybe they have a different mentality. I don't know.
I mean, it is a family movie, first and foremost, is what, you know, is really what it's about. And really, all it is, you know, it's really a feel-good movie.
Ah, that elephant, though. Yeah, some of those dines are just... They don't do it for me. Every time they show a pig, it just looks like a blob. Like, every time, though.
It's like, blech.
It's hard to get right, isn't it, though? It's...
You should focus on making a creature that looks more intelligent. They always make pigs look stupid for some reason.
Yeah, right? And, like, less gluttonous.
I mean, if nothing else, you know, it might be the animation that will pull it through in the end. How the characters are animated and how, you know?
Well, at the end of the day, I don't think that Sing 2 is necessarily within our demographic. I mean, I'm probably not going to watch it.
No, thanks.
Not intentionally.
It's a waste of money. That's what I think.
I didn't end up watching the first one. I'm not going to watch the second one.
Same.
Yeah, understandable.
I would totally watch Zootopia 2, though. And that's the difference, though, because like Zootopia, it's different for some reason. I'm not sure how exactly, but it just is.
It just has a good vibe to it.
I mean, I guess you could say Sing does, too, for some people that enjoy it.
Yeah, for the first one, but this new second one? Nah.
I mean, even compared to Zootopia, though, like they just got everything better. And I feel like Sing is just trying to ride their coattails, if that makes any sense.
I see. Yeah.
Maybe I'm just criticizing it too hard. I don't know.
No, I agree with
you. Maybe they all appeared on the same kind of wave and timeline, you know, 2016, 2017. That's when that resurgence popped up, you know, and Zootopia Rock Dog and Sync Trinity just kind of, you know, happened at roughly the same time.
And then Twitter decided to basically explode.
Oh, again?
Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be the case? Now, you know, that's not to say, you know, Zootopia 2 may not, you know, may be a pipe dream. It could happen in the years ahead. But, you know, come on. Knowing Disney, though?
I mean, even back then when Zootopia came out, like, there was, like, a message behind it, but it wasn't, it's hard to say, it doesn't seem like it was hijacked by woke SJWs. Like, you know what I mean? It was kind of like the problems in this world that could relate in some ways, but doesn't really. It wasn't about racism or speciesism. It was like about what you eat or not. I mean, it was interesting. You know, it was a totally different take.
So,
and it wasn't as politically crazy.
Does anyone remember the Emoji Movie?
Yes.
I blocked that out of my memory.
Does anyone know the movie that could have been?
No.
No.
Popeye.
Ooh.
Popeye the Sailor Man was going to make a comeback, but instead it was decided Sony wanted to bring in the Emoji Movie. Now, the trailer, or at least the test clip for Popeye, damn, that was good. They took the art style from the original the cartoon, and they managed to merge it into CGI, but it looked really good because everyone always had those exaggerated characteristics that made Popeye basically Popeye.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was decided that Popeye, oh, that's not going to make any money. Emojis will.
Wow, I'm pretty sure a lot of people got fired after that decision.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they would have been promoted. So, yeah.
Fun, right? At least now, you know, who wants to prepare themselves for the next coming storm, you know, the next coming storm of a new movie.
Oh, goodness.
Who's ready?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. Is this the...
This is it. This is it.
Oh, no.
This is... Yes. My Little Pony, A New Generation. Netflix film.
Oh, right. No.
So can I just say, before this, though, I think we all announced, like, in 2019... We came up with the last season of, you know, on the show, we talked about it, the last season of My Little Pony, The Fourth Generation. And, to you know, it was no surprise, you know, we were kind of overjoyed that it's come to its end. And now this. It's My Little Pony is back and he doesn't want to stay dead.
It seems like that fandom never dies. I have a couple of friends in them still.
All right. My concern with the way these bronies look, there was a test clip of, oh God, I forget which one it was. Yeah. But it was so terrible that you had YouTubers tearing this little comic apart, this little clip apart. Pinkie Pie, it was Pinkie Pie. And it had been done so poorly that it looked cheap, shitty, and terrible. And I'm concerned that that's what they're going to do with this, where you'll just have mistakes left, right, and center, and you'll have people watching it that are just going to lose their shit.
Well, here's the problem with that, too. This is not necessarily like that. This is CGI. Look at all these characters. They're not same animated. Thing.
Yeah. No, this was a CGI clip.
Right, so that's why it's being received poorly. Like we said earlier about the whole Courage thing and versus Scoob, how CGI can really mess things up. And this does not look genuine, again. This looks really weird.
Right, like this is not, you know, remember, the fourth generation of My Little Pony was animated using Adobe Flash, and even the movie, you know,
even the movie was, yeah. Well, mostly.
Also made in Adobe Flash. So, right.
And the thing is with Generation 4, it kind of like closed after that. Like all the stories wrapped up. You know, oh, someone got their wings. Someone became a Pega, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
All that crap.
A Pega Uni, whatever.
Oh, you became the princess. You did this. No. Oh, we saved Equestria.
No, you became a flying narwhal.
You got to get it right. Yeah, it's basically bronies and Prega sisters. Oh, that's the terms.
Whatever the hell. I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. So everything was all wrapped up by the end of that show. And that's why they had to cancel the show, because they're like, well, we have really no other storylines, like no ideas. And it's good that they ended it there, because otherwise it would have just stagnated. But now they have a new... of course they're going to try to rebring it back, because it's been a successful series for the last, what, 40 years?
Right. Like, you know, and from 2010 to 2019, you know, and onwards, like, they spawned a massive community out of it. Like,
and oh, yeah.
I know. I should know, because, like I said, you know, I'm a former brony myself. You know, I still have a lot of friends who are still into that stuff. And as far as I know, the fandom is very healthy, and it is just not going to die anytime soon.
I mean, BronyCon's over.
I sent you the clip.
Right. This was a...
But this isn't even the big deal, though. The art style, I mean, who cares? The whole bringing it back, this is not the big problem with this new movie that they're trying to bestow upon everyone. Can you guess?
No, but it's important,
what
and
the
it
problem
starts
is? Up. Oh, yeah, well, that's definitely a problem. But can you guess...
Like, it's interesting, you know, happened? How they went from, you know, from traditional animation to, you know, CG, like... You would think the ponies wouldn't translate too well for it.
No, it's not going to work.
I mean, no.
You haven't seen Second Life, then.
Yeah, but no, that's not...
right.
That's,
I mean,
another
story. Seriously, the avatars in Second Life of ponies are completely different compared to what you normally see with an avatar. It's like, it is just, it's like, what the hell am I looking at? I don't have any screenshots of it, but it's just like, yeah. Right.
Aside from the art style, you know, which is something that I criticized back in Generation 4, because I thought it was too pastel. But what's the actual story like about this new movie? What is it at the core?
Right. So let's read the synopsis. The unimaginable has happened. Equestria has lost its magic. Earth ponies, unicorns, and Pegasi are no longer friends and now live separated by species. But idealistic Earth pony Sunny is determined to find a way to bring enchantment and unity back to their world. Teaming up with open-hearted unicorn Izzy, the pair travel to faraway lands where they encounter the likes of charismatic and brave Pegasi Pip and Zip and the ever-responsible fellow Earth pony Hitch. Their mission is full of misadventures. But these new best friends each possess their own unique and special gifts that may just be just what this ponyverse needs to restore magic and prove that even little ponies can make a big difference.
Wow. So that kind of sounds like the American dream has been lost, and that people are being brainwashed by media to be segregated by identitarian politics. But there's a handful of SJWs out there, the warriors who could save the day and bring... Oh, wait, no. This whole show is just an analogy.
No, yeah. See, all they're going to do is bring back lynching.
Oh, wait, what? I didn't read that in there.
It's this has basically become like the apartheid state of, you know, I wouldn't call it the apartheid state of Equestria, but you get the point.
Are they just turning this into reality now or something?
That's what they're trying to do. Again, like I said, yeah, an analogy for the world.
It's not going
to
work.
This is one of those woke fanfics that has been made official. That's the way I see it.
Why the hell would ponies not like each other after they lost their magic? You'd think they would come together after that.
Yeah, they always do. So let's see what happens to the fandom after this, then.
Yeah, because friendship is magic. I mean, come on. Just be friends and you get your magic back. Duh.
Yep, it happens every time back then, you know. I remember some of that stuff.
Right. And another thing is, I just want to say that they decided... They kind of are inheriting the same stuff from Generation 4 with Equestria and stuff, but they're creating a new generation of pony, so, you know.
They actually had something they could have continued on with, but by the looks of things, they've just literally decided to throw that aside and, well, go with this.
Right. Okay, get this. You're going to love this next synopsis. Comicbook.com. So... Now, one of the characters, and you were right to see the red flags in this. For months, the conventional wisdom was held that the film will center on Sunny Star Scout, quote unquote, an outcast and young activist Earth pony, who still sees hope in Equestria, where Twilight Sparkle's teachings on friendship and harmony have been replaced with paranoia and mistrust, and where all three species of ponies live segregated from one another. However, when she meets a lost unicorn named Izzy, the two embark on an adventure involving musical numbers, a jewel heist, conspiracy theories, and the world's cutest flying Pomeranian as they travel to new lands while facing their fears and turning enemies into friends.
Yeah, that all sounds well and good on the surface, but I can definitely see those woke undertones. That's just going to ruin this thing. Okay.
Especially with just the two.
They called him an activist.
Yeah, just the two words, her. Conspiracy theories. That just gives it away right there.
Yeah, conspiracy theories and an Earth activist. I wonder if he's going to...
Well, the thing is, you just have to say activist and just end it there. It doesn't matter if it's a pony, unicorn, or Pegasus. Just activist, end it there. Yep.
If they want to be true to their words, what they'll do is that every time they go in to help a particular group or individual, they end up burning that particular group or individual's place down to the ground. That is the literal only way I could see it actually teaching them anything, is that you need to make sure that you're helping the right people and that you're not setting fire to the wrong building.
Exactly. You have to set fire to you know... The oppressors of systematic racism. I'm sorry, ponyism.
I mean, collateral damage is one thing, but you got to teach people what it actually means.
This is just silly.
It's sad.
True.
You know, I bet you by the end of this, it'll be the one screen. We are one race, the pony race.
Well, there was that one episode where they all had the same cutie marks, all the equality. It was like a communist episode.
You know, I was like, that was based.
Yeah, that was pretty damn based, right?
Very based.
Man, that was... I like that one. I forgot the song they had, but it was like, yes, we are all equal, and they're all... Oh my god, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was kind of controversial, but that's besides the point.
So now it's like, you know... So, compared to Gender Balance Singer, like, My Little Pony has always been a show for little girls. Now, and then somewhere along the way, you know, an external demographic kind of latched on. That's when we have Generation 4. And what's Generation 5 going to look like, you know?
Who's gonna... I hope it doesn't look like this.
Choo-choo!
Yeah, it's... interesting now, you know. And I guess another thing I did want to say about this too is, you know, if this takes off, do you think we'll see, you know, Generation 5 My Little Pony as a TV series?
Well, if this movie takes off,
the fandom would might probably be a die. The fandom's going to die before this, you know, they really get this off the foot. Because
I would say briefly, like, there might be a TV show that lasts, like, 10 episodes, maybe 12, something like that, if it's actually successful. But I don't see it being all that successful.
Once the movie comes out, you'll have the people behind it turning around and saying, like, look, we got all these haters. They really hate us. They're going to the extra mile to stop us from being able to produce more. We need to be able to produce more because this is the right path.
Well, the thing is, what do they mean about haters? Do they mean haters or do they mean, like, legit fans? Because the Brony fandom, some of these guys are damn passionate, and they're going to review this film regardless. There's going to be YouTube videos, there's going to be blogs, articles, all that shit about bronies who saw this movie and have opinions about it. And that's going to affect, I think, in the long run, how this movie is felt by the vast majority of people, because they're the loudest voices.
I'd love it to be one of those movies where, okay, well, that happened. Let's move on now.
Yeah, forget about it. I mean,
like the prequel.
I mean, it does remind me of another fandom where when the second movie came out, everyone wanted to forget about it.
Star Wars?
No, Angry Birds. When that second movie came out, everyone wanted to forget about it.
Yeah.
It just ruined the entire storyline.
Yeah. The first Angry Birds, let me just say this like wholeheartedly. The first Angry Birds movie was based as fuck.
Yeah. And then the second one, way off the storyline. Way off.
Yeah, but yeah. Angry Birds doesn't have as large as a fan base. Like, you don't have Angry Bird cons for the last 9 years. That doesn't happen. Bronies have a voice, though.
Yeah, but let me just tell you something to bring that up about that, because I used to be in it, and I actually used to run some of that stuff. It actually died as soon as that second movie came out. The fandom just completely split.
Yeah, that's some wild shit, dude.
So was this after Equestria Girls, or... Because I think my knowledge of the My Little Pony timeline has just gone, you know.
I don't know what that was about, but yeah. I kind of like the music from that show. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
I hated
bad.
It.
Still, you know, again, I don't know if this is going to, you know, bring hope back to the My Little Pony, you know, fan base, franchise, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, 2 years between the generational gap.
I mean, I would probably say yes, just because now I'm just, you know, assuming here that a lot of people in the Brony fandom, they would probably see this message as something, you know, positive, and they're not really going to, like, look into the deeper meaning of it. They're like, oh, yeah, this is fine.
Mean, maybe the writers at whoever the frick is running this now, Hasbro... Maybe they know. They seem to know what's up with the world, but they don't know how to best articulate it.
Oh, they don't know what's up with the world. Ooh. They just simply scroll through Twitter.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, they get all their influences from all these.
Or maybe,
crazy,
you know, they might have like a knockoff.
Twitter.
You know, somewhere in Equestria, Trump Country exists, and they're, you know.
Oh no! Don't know. Stop it! Don't give them any ideas, though.
No,
Jolt, seriously, just. Oh, Trump
I am
pony.
The best pony.
Oh, no.
I'm the most orange pony ever. I'm the best. I'm made of gold.
The idea of an orange pony with yellow hair is just...
The Equestria virus is killing all of us. I'm going to build a wall and make Discord pay for it. Yeah, can you imagine if they did that? I would actually watch that shit. That'd be kind of funny.
Oh my god, yes. Build that wall.
Build that cloud wall.
Now we'll build like a Dyson sphere around Cloudsdale.
Oh heck my yeah. God.
No, a dome. A dome.
Oh my goodness. Do we have any live comments, any questions, anything going on?
There are a couple of other things regarding, you know, My Little Pony. Liz says, you know, Avery, I agree. Who cares about proper terms? I mean, I think MLP is annoying, but this shit is ridiculous. Like, this shit with, you know, how they're taking MLP.
A good point. I mean, yeah. I liked some of the music in the show, but I just could not get past the bright, pastel, lovely colors. It just made my eyes want to vomit rainbows.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't do it. I never got into it, sorry, but the music's all right.
All right, so we've got to move on to the next topic, and that's we're going to steer away from a little bit about, you know, pop culture and fun stuff. Or do you want to remain on the track of pop culture and fun stuff?
What's fun about this MALP thing?
Let's just move on.
All right, yeah, let's just move on then.
Yeah.
So this next stuff is just the ridiculous has arrived. University bans the phrase trigger warning because it might be triggering. Also bans panic. Also bans picnic. Sorry about that. Rule the farm and take a shot at it because they are racist or violent or something.
Wait, why are they using the word triggering in that headline? But ban the word trigger warning, trigger warning because it's triggering?
Apparently.
What?
Wait, okay, get this. Okay. Now, here's the context behind it. Now, an arts college in Waltham at May, Massachusetts, banned the use of words and phrases it deems to be violent or racist, replacing them with bland alternatives in an effort to prevent anyone from being offended. And Brandeis University has created an anti-violence resource called the Prevention Advocacy and Resource Center, which provides information and advice to students and staff. Go on.
Oh,
break
okay.
A leg is going to be taken off as well.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Hey, we're going to go through that list in a second. So yeah. We'll give you the context. Among the phrases to have been banned are, ironically, trigger warning, which had to go because of its association to guns, along with take a shot at it for the same reason.
What?
Now, wait a minute. If they ban that phrase, that means they have to ban YouTube and Facebook.
No, but wait, they have to ban trigger warning because they think a trigger relates to guns.
A gun, yeah.
How weak and pathetic do they think these college kids are?
They're trying to take something that's literally a figure of speech and trying to make it literal.
Okay, how much are they spending in bubble wrap?
Or helmets.
Yeah.
They're talking down to these kids like they're scared little puppies. The next paragraph goes on. Similarly, take a stab at it and killing it are described as oppressive language and replaced by try and great job if someone's doing well. Fuck that! If I think someone's doing all right, I'd be like, bro, you're killing it.
It's like, if someone's doing well, we don't need to equate that to murder, the college's explanation reads.
Is offended by that and thinks you're referring to murder? Bro, it's fucking slang.
And it's been around a lot longer than any of us, it seems.
Okay. Look at any slang from any decade. It's like, bro, that's gnarly. That doesn't mean it's bad.
Isn't the term great job usually used to insult someone who's doing a piss poor job?
Sarcastically, it could be.
If you say it sarcastically, like,
wow,
yes.
What a great job you did by messing all that shit up.
I that happens to me a lot. Like, you know, when I screw up, I get told great job.
Yeah, is that offensive? No. Sure, I'm triggered by that. Oh, sorry, should I not use triggered? What the hell's wrong with these people?
Yeah, not to mention, you know, I say, you know, mate, you're killing it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, all right, let's
go through that. Or I say dead ass sometimes.
Next one, take a shot at, give it a go. Take a shot at. These expressions needlessly use imagery of hurting someone or something. Take a stab at. Try.
Okay, what oppressed,
I don't even get
feminist fucktard wrote this article. As I bet you they are so depressed and hate themselves, and they just want to make everyone else feel as bad as they do.
Next one. Okay, again, trigger warning should be replaced with content note. The word trigger has connections to guns. Drop in. That's also another alternative. Guns for many people. We can give them the same heads up using language less connected to violence. Right.
Wow.
Gee, that's I wonder how long this is going to last.
Next one.
That's, no.
Rule of thumb. No. General rule. This expression comes from an old British law allowing men to beat their wives with sticks no wider than their thumb.
What? Rule of thumb is oppressive language?
Wait.
Yes, Noble.
Explain to me how the hell are you supposed to beat someone with a stick that's no longer than your thumb?
No wider than your thumb.
Oh.
Like, you know, like a little cane, like, you know, when the disciplinary one, you know.
Oh, like
yeah,
a
that would hurt.
Yeah, nothing. No, but rule of thumb is oppressive language? How? How, though? This is like some fantasy world this person lives in.
Right.
Clearly.
Yeah. It's...
I want to know what they're smoking.
Next one. Picnic replaced with outdoor seating. Outdoor eating.
Wait, picnic is racist?
No, that's... I don't know how is that... I don't even understand.
All right, let's see what they say. The term picnic is often associated with the lynching of black people? No, it isn't!
That's
in the United States. During which white spectators were said to have watched while eating, referring to them as picnickers, or other terms involving racial slurs against black... Picnickers! They're picnic. At a picnic! The fuck are they talking about? What?
They have lost their damn minds.
You have a picnic. You don't go out to watch a lynching. A little bit different. Jesus.
You know, this is actually a great list for protesters.
If this was posted on the Babylon Bee, I would believe it. Because this is a fake article. This has got to be a troll, man.
No,
yeah, picnic
no,
and rule of thumb are racist.
People, I think they're legit. And if I know who posted, who's put this up, Summit News, this is legit. This is not satire. This is legit.
But if I posted this, like, on Twitter as a satire, people would believe it was a satire. Because it is, like, at the end of the day. Like, this is garbage.
Yeah. Next one.
Let's see. I'm curious, what happens if you were to post this on Facebook? Would the fact checkers say that this is wrong?
Yeah.
I got a feeling. I might try that.
You eat. All right, next one. Go off the reservation. Disagree. It should be alternatively disagree with the group. Defect from the group. This phrase has a harmful history rooted in the violent removal of indigenous people from their land and the horrible consequences for someone that left the reservation.
I've never heard that term before.
Wait. They left out.
That's not a thing.
They actually leave out African American.
What about Indians?
Right. I've heard get off the Democrat plantation. I've heard that before.
That's another thing I've heard as well.
But true, you should.
It's really another American. Yeah. Really another American thing. And, yeah.
Wow. We truly do live in clown world, don't we?
What has happened
since, like, 2019.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people. Is it literally pull your head out of your ass and just, like, take a deep breath?
Well, I also think...
Try not to faint.
It was either a combination of 2019 or 2020, when people were so bored, locked up in their homes, and they just became, like, the ultimate Karens and SJWs. They just wanted to police the world because they felt some type of psychological control.
Do you know the best thing I've heard?
What?
Turns out that people who have escaped from North Korea have said that not even North Korea was this fucked up.
Oh, I saw that interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw her. Yeah, she was a defector. And she's like, yeah, they're teaching critical race theory in college. And she's like, even the propaganda in North Korea wasn't as bad as American universities.
I'll be honest, this just...
She's right.
Here's another interesting live comment. Alex Hale says, thanks for listening. Rule of thumb is a reference to company, and picnic comes from the French before slavery was even a thing.
Yeah. Slavery's always been a thing.
Yeah, slavery's been a thing since we were, like... No, he means, like, institutional slavery, like American slavery. That's right. Yeah. But, yeah, slavery's been around since, like...
Like the early days of human civilization.
But, but Alex is right, though. Yeah, it's a picnic? I mean, what? You go outside and you eat on a blanket. And then you go home. Like, that...
Yeah, and, like, you know... Like, you go,
what are you talking about? An outdoor gathering. Fuck that. That could be anything.
Apparently, apparently, there's a university that wants to ban the term African American because apparently it's a racist term.
Anyway, the thing is, here's a couple of funny ones too, culturally appropriative. You know what? Funny stuff. Powwow should be considered meeting, party, or gathering.
That's actually more offensive because the term powwow is a Native American term that actually does mean that.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, I don't use it very often. Like, let's have a powwow and, you know.
I mean, I wouldn't use it because I'm not Native American. I'll say, let's have a party.
Yeah.
Or let's
have... So, hold on.
You know.
So, cultural appropriate. So, what happens if you're an Indigenous American and you start using that term and you get flogged for it?
I'm not even sure if I agree with that. Because, like, I'm an Indigenous American. I was born here. I was born in the United States. Hell, 3 generations strong here. So, yeah, I'm Indigenous. Yeah. Fight me.
Yep. I'm actually part Native American myself. So, but like, I know I'm reading this and it even says spirit animal. What?
Yeah.
You know what? That's been an Indian term forever.
That's just a common term that everyone uses. Like, oh, that's my spirit animal.
I know, but I'm also just saying that that's a term that's been around a lot longer than any of us.
And, like, you know, favorite animal or the one I would most like to be doesn't, you know, it doesn't quite get that, you know?
And, you know, normal people find it funny when, like, YouTubers or something will, like, in the middle of a video be like, oh, this actor is my spirit animal. Like, it's silly, you know, it's a funny thing, and no one takes any offense to that, except for these woke idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a bunch of dumbasses anyways.
Spirit animal? Excuse me? Well, that's actually a term that Native Americans use and blah, 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 blah. Fucking shut up.
Yep. We're always right anyways.
Now the thing is, though, I know, it really does sound ridiculous, all of this, but no, this is 100% real in that university in Massachusetts.
That's scary, dude.
Ugh, I would not want to go there.
No.
No. It just proves they're bigger idiots than the rest of us.
Yeah.
If a professor is more bonkers than I am, I don't want to learn from them.
Yeah, I'd be more worried about the college kids over, you know, over there.
Oh,
yeah, that's weird.
I have seen some students in college, while in class, actually arguing with their teachers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've done that.
Regarding this critical race theory crap.
Okay, not that.
Yeah.
As they should. Mm. Yeah, critical race theory is inherently racist. It's a bad thing. Like, it's horrible.
You know, it's the literal definition of racism.
It's revisionist history that makes a certain group of people look like the enemy of the world. So yeah, it's inherently fucking evil.
I think I want to make a joke and tie it back to a certain upcoming movie.
Please do.
Do it.
Critical Pony Theory.
There we go.
Yes.
If the visuals don't cause you to gouge your eyes out, the audio will make you want to pull your ears off.
All right. Oh, so goodness. I guess, there we go. I guess we've really reached the end of that. It's been a long ride, hasn't it? It's been a really interesting week for stories, hasn't it, though?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, just so I guess, you know, who'd like, you know, it's there's a lot of out there stuff. So who'd like to close up one by one?
I can start off with Mighty Red.
Well, you know, these SJW people, just in general, they're just complete idiots trying to ruin our world. They think everything's right, but clearly they're not right, because once they try it their way and they're going to see they're wrong, they're going to see that they fucked up anyways.
Interesting question. Like, just as a we were once a part of My Little Pony, right? Like, where do you see, you know, the community headed towards? If you know, or how do you see them receiving this current movie?
I hate to say this, you know, being a former Brony myself, it's just going to go downhill. I think maybe they're purposely trying to split up the fandom because of how strong it's been going after all these years. That's what happened with other fandoms too that I used to be in. They're trying to pull the same shit again with the My Little Pony fandom. So I don't think it's going to go far. It's just going to die, unfortunately. We're not going to see it around much longer.
Only time can tell, you know. We'll see how to, you know, just have to wait and see how the movie turns out. But I'll definitely keep an eye out. Yeah, because again, it's run on Netflix. So that. Anyway, Noble.
Just for anyone who's wondering, when your head's stuck in that block and the guillotine's about to come down, just realize it's a little late to start regretting things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Turn, Doc.
Good advice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Avira.
Wow. This week was super fun. Considering everything that happened this week, I am very optimistic for the Courage the Cowardly Dog and Scooby-Doo crossover. I really hope it does well. And I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Other than that, I had a good time, and I hope to see you guys next week.
Yeah, as ever. Once again, thanks to our listeners for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show as much as we did making it. And as always, we bring it here. It's always us, you know. We enjoy bringing this clown show to the lot of you. It's really just, yeah. So as always, our episodes are always available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, BitChute, and for, you know, more platforms further down the line.
Yeah, this whatever the hell crawls out. And also, one more thing, because, you know, it's for the U.S. people only here in the U.S., you know, happy 4th of July weekend. Have a safe weekend. Don't blow up your hand with fireworks.
Don't start the next bushfire.
That too.
And get out there and celebrate. It is your day, after all. So, this is us signing off for the week. Farewell, and until next time.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.